Have you ever been mistreated because you're a Christian? God has something to say about that. His response is illustrated by what he had to say concerning his children in the Old Testament. It's recorded in Ezekiel chapter 25. So will you turn with me in your Bibles to that passage? And while you're turning, I want to quote a commentator that puts some things in perspective for us. He says, "The siege of Jerusalem had begun. It was only a matter of time until her destruction would be complete." So Ezekiel turns from Jerusalem to give messages against those nations surrounding it. If God would not spare his own people because of their sin, how could the nations around her hope to escape his judgment? God's judgment begins in Israel. That's Ezekiel chapters 4 to 24. But it extends from there to other nations, chapters 25 to 32. End of quote. Now notice what I've done is outline for you a big portion of the book of Ezekiel. And let me repeat, the judgment on Israel is chapter 4 to 24. And on other nations, chapter 25 to 32. That also indicates that we're about to turn the corner into chapter 25, which starts a new major section in the book. Another author said, it is appropriate in this section, that is 25 to 32, that appears at this point in Ezekiel, between the messages announcing judgment on Judah and Jerusalem for sin, that's 4 to 24, and the messages concerning future blessing for Israel, 33 to 48, between those two sections, all nations will answer for their sin, not just Israel. This whole section, that is, we're talking about 25 to 32, that whole section, is a testimony to the faithfulness of God to his promise to curse nations that curse Israel, Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. So, in these chapters, beginning in chapter 25 now, and going through chapter 32, we read of God's judgment on seven heathen nations. These nations are judged for various forms of rebellion against God. They had contact with God's people and knew about him, but they were unwilling to turn to him. So, let's observe this closely, for God's ways are always revealed in his thoughts, whether in judgment or in grace. Now, with all of that as an introduction, not just to this chapter, but to the next major section of the book, let's start with verse 1 of chapter 25. And the first section is judgment on Ammon. Now keep in mind, I said that this new section is going to give us the judgment on various nations. So this chapter is going to list some of those nations, not all. We'll see more of them later. In this case, we're going to start with Ammon. Verse 1, the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, set your face against the Ammonites and prophesy against them. Ezekiel had previously recorded an oracle against Ammon in chapter 21, verses 28 to 32. Its place here is evidently due to the fact of the sword of the Lord and the fact that he's, in this section, promised judgment on these other nations. All right, he says in verse 3, say to the Ammonites, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord God, because you said, ah, against my sanctuary when it was profaned, and against the land of Israel when it was desolate, and against the house of Judah when they went into captivity. Now notice, the Ammonites had rejoiced when they saw the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. and the desolation of the land of Israel, and the exile of the people into Babylon. So, he's saying, hear the word of the Lord, thus saith the Lord, because you said, ah, when my sanctuary was profaned, and against the land when it was desolate, and the people when they went into captivity. Verse 4, indeed, therefore, I will deliver you as a possession to the men of the east, and they shall set your encampment among you and make their dwelling among you, and they shall eat your fruit and they shall drink your milk. Now, that is simply saying that God's judgment would fit Ammon's sin. They rejoiced over the downfall of the southern kingdom, so they would fall. God would send them to the people of the east, those are nomads, and give them as their possession. He says in verse 5, I will make Rehoboth a stable for camels and Ammon a resting place for flock. Then you shall know that I'm the Lord. By the way, this is a devastating statement. He's saying that the capital is going to become a stable. The city is going to so be destroyed, it's going to become a stable for animals, the animals of the nomads. And the Ammon, the resting place for flocks, the rest of the land is going to be a field for the animals to graze in. Verse 6, for thus saith the Lord God, because you clapped your hands and stomped your feet and rejoiced in heart, and all you disdain for the land of Israel. So because the Ammonites had rejoiced over Israel's misfortune, the Lord would give them as spoils of war to some other nation. Indeed, therefore, I will stretch out my hand against you and give you as plunder to the nations. I will cast you from the peoples. I will cause you to punish from those countries. I will destroy you, and you shall know that I am the Lord. He would end their existence as a separate nation and destroy them as a people. Ammon no longer existed as a nation after Nebuchadnezzar destroyed it, and the Bedouins from the east plundered it. One author has written, the primary purpose of these oracles was that everyone would come to know that Israel's God is the Lord. The phrase, thus you shall know, I am the Lord, appears in almost every oracle or group of oracles, not only in this section of the book, but throughout the book of Ezekiel. This clause means that people will come to acknowledge God for who He is and respond to Him accordingly. It is not just a statement that they will become convinced of His existence, even His sovereignty, but that they will humble themselves and submit to His will. Jeremiah predicted that the Lord would restore the fortune of the Ammonites. This occurred briefly after the exile. The governor of Ammon during the post-exilic period. But the restoration of this region will also take place, according to this author, in the kingdom. Jeremiah also predicted the restoration of other foreign nations, but Ezekiel did not predict their restoration. End of quote. Now the reason I gave it, it's a rather long quote, but the reason I gave it is because Ezekiel is predicting their destruction, but Jeremiah, interestingly, predicts their restoration. That's a very interesting turn of events in the book of Jeremiah. All right, what we've seen thus far in Ezekiel chapter 25 is judgment on Ammon. But now remember, we're in a section that's going to talk about judgment on surrounding nations. So the next thing he does in this chapter, beginning in verse 8, is pronounce judgment on Moab. Thus saith the Lord God, because Moab and Seir said, look, the house of Judah is like all nations. The residents of Moab and Edom had regarded Judah as just one other nation, even though they were blood relatives of theirs, actually. This attitude reflected disrespect for the Lord. They viewed Israel's God as no better than any pagan deity since they had fallen to the Babylonians. Therefore, verse 9, behold, I will clear the territory of Moab of cities and the cities of its frontier, the glory of the country. And then he lists some of the cities that will be defeated and destroyed. The Lord promised to destroy the frontier cities in which the Moabites took such pride. To the men of the east, he says in verse 10, I will give it as a possession together with the Amorites, and the Amorites may not be remembered among the nations. In addition to losing their defenses, Moab would lose her freedom. God said he would give Moab to the people of the east, the same fate as Ammon. The nomadic desert tribesmen would overrun Ammon, and they would also overrun Moab. The purpose is given in verse 11. And I will execute judgment upon Moab, and they will know that I am the Lord. So both Moab and Ammon are conquered by Nebuchadnezzar in the fifth year after the destruction of Jerusalem. And then they were occupied by Bedouin tribes. But the purpose is so these people would know that the Lord, He is God. Now, I mentioned in the introduction, we're going to see judgment on one country after the other. And so far, we've seen judgment on two. Ammon was the east of Palestine, and Edom, which was to the south. Moab, which was to the south. Now he's going to specifically mention Edom. I was getting a little ahead of myself. The third nation is Edom. Look at verse 12. Thus saith the Lord God, because of Edom did against the house of Judah by taking vengeance and was greatly offended by avenging itself on them. The Edomites had taken vengeance on the people of the southern kingdom rather than helping them. This was worse than the sins of Ammon and Moab because they took pleasure in Israel's fall. Therefore, verse 13, thus saith the Lord God, I will also stretch out my hand against Edom, cut off men and beast from it, and make it desolate. From Teman, Dabin shall fall by the sword. Because of what they did, the Lord promised to send judgment on them. He would cause both men and beasts to perish from the land. A picture of complete devastation. He would make the land a desolate waste. And the cities that are mentioned are like saying from one end of the country to the other. That's the point. Thus, the Edomites lost both their country and their national identity. Verse 14. I will lay my vengeance on Edom by the hand of my people Israel, that they may do in Edom according to my anger and according to my fury. They shall know my vengeance, says the Lord God. The Israelites would play a part in Edom's judgment, acting as God's agent in his anger. The Edomites would come to know and acknowledge the Lord as the true God. One author has pointed out that today the residents of the territory formerly occupied by Ammon, Moab, and Edom all go by the name of Arab. Interesting. God said that Israel would bring his vengeance against the Edomites. As a result, the Edomites would come to know God's vengeance. Now, I said, in this section, there's judgment of one nation after another, and we started in chapter 25, and so far in chapter 25, we've seen judgment on three nations. There's one more. Look at verse 15. Thus saith the Lord God, against the Philistines dealt vengefully and took vengeance with a spiteful heart to destroy because of the old hatred. The Philistines are now judged. Because they tried to destroy Judah, God would destroy them. He would stretch out his hand against them and cut them off and destroy them who lived along the coastline. Verse 16 says, therefore, thus saith the Lord, I will stretch out my hand against the Philistines. And he goes on to say, I will cut them off. By the way, in ancient Israel, these people lived to the south and over on the coast of Israel. And I think it's interesting in light of what has happened recently. It's over by Gaza. That's sort of the area over where the Philistines were. Now, the territories are not exactly coincide, but it gives you an idea on the map of where they are. All right, one more verse, verse 17. I will execute great vengeance on them with furious rebuke, and they shall know that I am the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon them. So, he would take vengeance on them for their treatment of his chosen people. He would do so by his wrath. There's no record of the Philistine existence after the 2nd century BC, though the names of the cities remain. They would know that the Lord was God when they experienced judgment. All right, what we've seen in this chapter is God's judgment on four nations around Israel. And the point is very simple. God punished those who sinfully mistreated his children. That's the sum and the substance of this chapter. May I repeat it? These are judgments on nations around Israel because they mistreated Israel. So the principle is God punishes those who mistreat his children. That's what's going on. One author wrote, and I quote, because the Ammonites rejoiced at the fall of God's sanctuary, Israel and Judah, and the Babylonian captivity, they would be destroyed by the Babylonians. The land of Moab would be opened to the Babylonians and would suffer the same fate as Ammon. The territory would be cleared of all of its cities, and Moab would know that God is the Lord. Because it took vengeance on the house of Judah, the Lord said, Edom would know his vengeance. The Philistines' ever-ending hatred of Judah would bring upon them the vengeance of the Lord. End of quote. That really says what's going on in this chapter. So let me conclude by making a couple of observations. This chapter demonstrates that God is faithful to fulfill his promise. Now let me explain that. Back in Genesis 12, God said he would bless those who bless Israel and he would curse those who curse Israel. God's judgment on these nations, therefore, is based on the Abrahamic covenant, the promise of which is mentioned in Genesis 12, and the covenant itself is given in Genesis 15. Those who bless the descendants of Abraham will be blessed, and those who curse the descendants of Abraham will be cursed. Ezekiel pronounced cursed on seven countries that contributed to Israel's downfall. So this chapter demonstrates that God is faithful to fulfill His promise. The other observation I would make is this. This chapter illustrates that God does to those, what God does to those who mistreat His children. Now, let me pause here for a second. Very specifically, God says, you bless Israel, I'll bless you. You curse Israel, I'll curse you. That is the specific issue, and this chapter is a demonstration of that. But beyond that, there is a principle here, and I want to end on that principle. And that is that God, what God does to people who mistreat His children, not just Israel, His children, and that includes us. Or as one commentator says, these judgments should be a warning to any nation that despitefully treats the chosen people of God, that is, the physical descendants of Jacob, and the sins against the sovereign God in other ways. He will punish sins and those who abuse His people. And that's the point I'm trying to make. I want to close with what another has written. Just as these nations would learn that if you touch God's people, you touch Him, capital H. So those who engage in Christian bashing today will one day learn the believers are the apple of God's eye. This is even true when God's people fall into sin and are judged for it. We should be aware of all the malicious joy and gloating and vengeful thoughts. Rather, like Ezekiel, we should mourn, intercede, and confess the sins of other believers as their own. End of quote. This author saw that beyond the specific of this chapter in Israel, it applies to all of God's children and teaches that if God's people are mistreated, the people who mistreat them, God will judge. So when you're being mistreated as a child of God, take heart. God will take care of them in due time. Father, thank you for the reminder that you love us, that we're your children, and even when we sin, as Israel did, and people gloat over it, that you will judge righteously. Thank you for that hope and that assurance. In Jesus' name, amen.